This is a photo of my family. I'm married to my wife, Lisa, and this year we celebrated 20 years of our marriage. And praise God. It's not because, you know, because our faithfulness, but because God's faithfulness in us. And we're blessed with two children, Josiah, who is 17 years old now, and he is going through HSC trials at the moment. So I'm nervous. He's not nervous. I'm nervous. And he's going to go to uni, hopefully, next year. He's thinking of studying engineering. I don't know whether UTS will be the place, you know. We'll see. Joel is in year five. They both go to Pacific Hills Christian School in Europe, in the northwest of Sydney. I'm doing a ministry at Macquarie University, in particular reaching out to postgraduate international students. As you see that Macquarie University has widespread degrees in postgraduate. I have been meeting a couple of people who are studying at Macquarie, studying in policing and counterterrorism. And that's something that, you know, not many uni actually offers that degree. So it's really great to be meeting them, coming from different parts of the world. Well, before I explain to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6, why don't I pray, lead you in prayer, and we'll go from there. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given to us to open up your word and also to meditate on your word. And we pray that you will be with us as we think about your word, as we ponder about it. And we pray, Lord, that you will be speaking to us, each one of us in this room, in a unique way. And we do pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in all these things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the topic that was assigned to me is God and money. What do you think about money? What difference if you're a follower of Jesus as you think about it? Well, there are some famous sayings about money. This is a Chinese one. I was born in Indonesia, but my grandparents actually came from China back in the 1930s. And this is one of them. This is actually quite famous. A Chinese proverb is saying, money comes like earth, scoop with a needle. It goes like a sand washed away by water. That's why probably Chinese is hardworking, high perseverance, always looking for money. And because it's hard to look for money, sometimes, you know, oftentimes this has become our number one priority in life. What is interesting is that most of the people in the world now believes in this thing, you know, because it's really hard. Money comes like earth scooped with a needle. It's really hard to get money, and it goes like sand washed away by water. It's really quick. Sometimes when you spend things, it's just really quick. Because it's hard to find money, and we spend most of our time into that, it can result that money becomes our ultimate goal or ultimate God in our life. Money seems to give security in our life. If we have money, we think that everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. We can have everything, basically, with money. Is this true? But probably not according to MasterCard, right? MasterCard, back in the time, they says that there is something that money can't buy, but for everything else, there is MasterCard. Well, that's one side of it. Money is everything. But on the other side, there are some people, Christians included in it, who think that having money is actually sinful. You should not work. You should not go after money. You should becoming poor. Becoming poor, basically, is a virtue. And I think this is a misuse of some biblical verses in the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. People must work, basically, for a living. Well, the question is, why is this topic so popular? It is because we all worry about our future, isn't it? We all worry about our future and about our life. And human beings seem to worry more about the future in our temporary life on earth. We worry about what we eat. We worry about what we wear. We worry about what we will have basically after we finish uni, after we graduate, where we will live, what sort of house we will have. And what is ironic is that we seldom worry about the thing that is far more important than what we need in this world. So the question, such as, with whom should we spend our eternal life, life after death on this earth? With God in heaven or without God in hell? My question to you before we move on is that, are you in a personal relationship with Jesus? This question is far more important questions than what do you want to do with your life? Or what sort of car will you have? Or what sort of job will you have? What sort of house that you will have? If you are not, I would like to ask you to consider basically coming to Christ and to put your trust in Jesus, to have security both in this life and the life to come, to experience basically a new life altogether, a new perspective in life, including money. So we're going to talk about this a bit more in detail. Let me just tell you that a lot of people actually were so worried about what sort of things that we will have, what sort of things that we will be wearing, etc., etc. I still remember my father was so worried when I told him, basically, that I wanted to serve in God's kingdom to be the teacher of the Bible. He thought that I was going insane. I was studying as an overseas student back in America, and he actually asked me to go back to Indonesia because he thought that I had been brainwashed in America. And he's so worried that I can't have enough money to live. And he's so worried that I can't have enough money to feed my family. We all worry, worry, and worry. And because we all worry, we are looking for the things to make money. Because we think that by having money, we have that security. We think that by being rich or having lots of money, we are safe. But the question is that true? Is that true? The problem we face is that apart from God, we will never be saved. So that's why I want you to think about this. Apart from God, basically, we are never satisfied with what we have. And all these sayings that you can see on the slides, basically, they're all sayings that represents our attitude toward money on the satisfaction level that we have. Listen to this story. I have another story, actually. One day, a very wealthy father took his son on a trip to the country for the sole purpose of showing his son how it was to be poor. They spent a few days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. After their return from the trip, the father asked his son how he liked the trip. "It was great, Dad," the son replied. And the dad asked, "Did you see how poor people can be?" "Oh yeah," said the son. "So what did you learn from the trip?" asked the father. The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog, but they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, but they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, but they have stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon of patio. And we have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us, but they have friends to protect them." The boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "It showed me, basically, how poor we are. How poor we are. We always compare, and we never get satisfied. And when we are not satisfied, we're looking for money. And we think that by having money, then that will be our point of satisfaction." Well, is that true? Is that true? The reality is that it's clear that these things basically do not add up to life. The book of Proverbs in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is a collection of saying, basically, of people who have learned from life experience. Look what it says about the reality of having wealth. "These things," basically, the book of Proverbs says, "do not last forever. Riches easily disappear." And to sum up, those who trust in their riches will fall and will finally be dissatisfied. It is true from our observation. It is also confirmed by the Word of God. You can write down all those verses and can look probably in your Bible after this. What does the Bible actually teach about this thing? How should our attitude toward money, especially as a follower of Jesus, how is my faith in Jesus makes a difference? Since this topic is so popular, therefore Jesus actually addressed this topic for more than 15% of all his teachings. In the book of the Old Testament, again, from the book of Proverbs, who speaks in a more comprehensive way about this topic, about earning, about spending, about saving, about giving money away. It also warns about wasting our money. That's amazing, isn't it? That's really amazing. God actually knows about this. He knows that we are all in this struggle together, and he addresses this topic extensively. So today, we have two passages that I will look at it extensively. First of all, from the one that we just read, from 1 Timothy 6. The other one is actually from what Jesus is teaching from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Let me just read to you, okay? Matthew 6, 19 to 34. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin, and in kind of insect, destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you, O little faith? So do not worry, saying that what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, these two passages that we just looked, basically they have similarities in talking about wealth. In here, both of them actually is talking about wealth. And wealth here has to be used with the wisdom that comes from God. Godliness, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is a state in which we feel satisfied. But this satisfaction should be in God. And Matthew chapter 6 says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Above all things, seek the kingdom of God. And God can suffice you with all the things that you need. So in both passages, wealth basically does not seem to be an enemy that we should not be part of. We need money. We need wealth. But it discourages us to be submitting to wealth. So in Matthew chapter 6, for example, it says that you either serve God or mammon or money. The God of money is called mammon. Or 1 Timothy chapter 6, It says, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Money or wealth is something that God has blessed us with. We should use it for His glory, for His fame. So is it okay for Christians to gain wealth? Oh yes, not a problem. Note in Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, the word is treasure. Treasure, okay? We are okay to gain wealth, to make money, but we are discouraged to treasure our wealth on earth. Your treasure is usually something that defines you, something that upholds you, something that you will be dreadful, for example, when you lose it. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, if you have food and clothing, how can we have food and clothing? By working, of course. By working. There is no other way. You have to work. You have to gain money to buy those things, right? However, in these two passages, both Paul and Jesus do not talk about luxury things. They talk about some necessities for living. So what's the point? The point is that wealth basically should not be the end of the things that we do. It should be used as an instrument to achieve something that is far greater or an ultimate end. And for Christians, the end of everything is not us. It's not something that we have, but it's God. We live to give glory to God. In both passages, we are called to trust God with our lives. We are called to submit to Him and not to wealth. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, look at the flowers of the field. You know, He didn't do anything. But God actually take care of them. If we have food or clothing, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, we will be content with that. So God basically is the one who blesses us with money, with life, with all the good things that we have. So what will be the applications then? All right, so we understand the teaching now. So what will be the application? Well, let me just suggest to you three things. All right, what does the Bible say about money and what is the application now? Number one, the issue at stake is then how we should manage our money. How we should manage our money. If you're a Christian in this room, then you need to think about this seriously. I know that some of you, most of you, are still studying, but most of you, again, will be working and will earn money. We need godly characters, basically, to manage the money that was given by God to us. We know that we need to work to live, and we know that we are all worried about life. We as Christians also know that there are things that are far greater, far more important than all the things that we have in life. The issue is, I think, how we should manage our money. I believe that managing money is actually a spiritual issue. And you think that, what does it mean? You know, money is something that I can hold and I can touch, you know, and you're talking about spiritual issue. Well, someone has said that you can tell more about spiritual lives of a Christian by looking at their balance or checkbook, basically, than by anything else. It's really interesting, isn't it? It reflects, basically, our relationship with God. Therefore, as God has given us other things than money in our life, for example, our time, our life, our health, and everything, then we are all accountable of everything to God. Everything that God has given to us, including money. So it's about controlling, basically, the money that God has given to us. It's about managing the money, where it should go and how it should be spent. And of course, the natural way to do it is that we usually set apart by prioritizing the time, the money that God has given to us, and everything else in our life. So for example, a student in exam week should prioritize his time to study rather than to playing on internet games, for example. But look at this table. This table just helped me in so many different ways, and I hope that it will help you as well. Not only that you manage that manage money, but you also need to do this, to put this in boxes, in all the things, let's say, something that relates to your time, to your energy, and to all the things that God has given you. So for important and urgent, it's very clear. For example, if you're trying to manage your time, if you're helping a friend who is ill, very ill, you need to bring that friend to the nearest hospital. That is important and urgent. Important and not urgent is actually helping a friend, for example, to study in exam. It's important, but probably not too urgent. Unimportant and urgent, probably ironing your clothes that are piled up from months and months, you know, because you haven't had time to do it. Unimportant and unurgent, or not urgent, is actually sleeping in focus, you know, while I'm giving the talk, for example. That's not important and that's not urgent. I hope that none of you are doing that. Therefore, I think we need to give priority in everything, including money. Including the money that God has blessed us with. For Christians, for example, the most important and urgent thing above all in regards to money is actually giving it back to God. Giving it back to God. For Christians, we acknowledge that everything comes from God. He is the King of the universe. He is the giver of all good things, including money. He entrusts this money to be used, basically, for His purpose, not for our purpose. This is amazing, isn't it? The money that we earn, do you remember how much money that you have in your bank account? How many of you just check your ATM and check the balance? You still remember the balance? Yes? Can you imagine that all the single cents in that money is actually comes from God? And when we trust God, He will provide everything that we need, not everything that we want. What are those things? Well, this is what we need, basically. Okay? But this is what we want. This is what we need, all right? But probably this is what we want. This is what we need. Okay? Payless shoe stores. I don't think it exists anymore, but you know. But this is what we want. This is what we need. In Indonesian, you know. But this is what we want. A lobster dinner. Well, I hope that it helps you to put that into perspective. Step number two. This is not in the Bible, by the way. I'm just going to give you my wisdom. All right? Step number two. Set aside funding for savings. Well, one thing that I'm glad when I moved to Australia is that, you know, all of us who are working in Australia, we are forced to save, you know, for our retirement. And again, the question is that going to be enough? It's still a big question mark, isn't it? The truth from the Bible is that we should not worry. Jesus taught us that we should not worry. We must not worry. It never says that we should not save. The Bible never says on how much money that we should save. But from my wisdom, I think we should save some money. Especially if you live in Sydney, for a large expense, for example. Set these things aside should be our priority and discipline. And I think it's good practice when you are still studying at university, you know, because, you know, probably you don't earn much, but it's a good practice to do it. I believe that the Bible agrees with this attitude, and we should do this, you all should do this as soon as possible. Set aside money from your part-time work. Set aside money to save. You may not be married or have children, but your future will need that kind of money. So that's step number two. Step number three is actually to spend the rest of the wage, basically, for something that you need. Something that you need. It's not something that you want, but it's something that you need. You know, it's very interesting. From 1 Timothy 6, we read in verse 8, the Apostle Paul says that it is to live by content by what God has given us. I still remember when we moved to Sydney from Indonesia 10 years ago. One of the things that we learn is actually how to live in contentment. And it's really amazing on how God provides us as a family. And when we compare, let's say, our living in Australia compared to our living in Indonesia, it's quite different. But again, you know, how to live in contentment and how to be satisfied with all the things that God has given to us. So how are we to conclude? We have to stop worrying. We have to stop worrying and trust God. We have to stop worrying and trust God. Your relationship basically portrays your faith in God. Your relationship with money portrays your faith in God. And what Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things. What are the things? The things that you need. The things that you need. We should not live as like the pagans. That's always a big question, actually, that we need to ask ourselves. If you are Christians in this room, how is your life different to those who are not Christians? Especially as you spend the money that God has blessed you with. Are you buying something that is similar or probably the same as your neighbor, as the person next to you? Or are you different? Are you willing to buy something or a mobile phone that is cheaper, but you give the rest of the money, basically, that someone would have used to buy an iPhone 7 for charity or maybe for mission? Or are you going to be using all up to spend on your money? Again, you know, that will be determined on how your relationship with God. So seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things. We should not live like pagans, but we should be different. You see that the suggestion 1, 2, 3, okay, is not a coincidence. I put 1, 2, 3, and that should be the order. That should be the order. It's not 3, 2, 1, but 1, 2, and 3. The first priority is God. The second priority is your savings. And the third priority is to spend on what you need. I always tease people, Christians, who go to church and who just open up their wallet basically when the collection bag comes in. I don't think it's a healthy kind of practice. You should set aside, you should make it special for you to give back to God. You see? And that should be the step. That should be the step. 1, 2, and 3. And we should develop this and we should make this as our practice. Well, may God bless you with His word. And I'm happy for people to ask questions at this time. So it will be a Q&A. I'm not sure if I can answer all of your questions, but feel free to ask questions if you have one. Anyone wants to ask a question? Yes.
Earning money is very relative, right? If I see a poor man, I feel he's poor. Mm-hmm. But when a rich man sees me, he knows that I'm poor. So you said buying something cheap, maybe an iPhone may be a cheap for a very rich person. Mm-hmm. So how do you get
over
that?
I think my point is that buying something that you need, it's not something, it doesn't mean that it's cheap, but it's something that you need, okay? It's not something that you want. It's not because everyone else is buying iPhone 7, then you should have iPhone 7. But what is the thing that you need? What kind of phone that you need, for example? Okay? And I agree, for some people, you know, iPhone 7 probably could be a regular thing, and for others it could be an expensive thing. It can be contextual, I understand. But again, you know, what is the very thing that you need? Okay? Any other question? Yes?
So you said in your point that you should spend the rest of your wages on what you need.
Yeah.
What if you already have everything you need, you just save all the rest of it then?
Probably yes. Or maybe the question is, what will you be using, let's say, going back to number one, point number one will be the first priority, okay? But if you have everything that you need, then probably you can give more to priority number one. You know what I mean? Okay? Some of you actually living with your parents, right? And you have everything that you need. Then why don't give more to God? Sure, you can follow up.
So then, you're also saying that we should save.
Mm-hmm.
So then, how do you think about saving versus giving the rest to God?
I see. Okay. Yep. I think it really depends on your situation. Okay. Saving money is still something that I think you should do for your future. But again, you know, that will be something that you need to consider in a situation is different from one to another, okay? But I think you should actually have that practice in terms of saving money. And I think that's a good practice when you are still earning not as much, so that, you know, you can have that practice as you're earning more. Any other question? Yes? Okay, yes. Sure, yeah. I do have some follow-up material in this. Giving money back to God, you know, it can be in different kind of forms. It can be by giving back to God through a church. If you go to a church, you can give back to God by giving money in the collection bag when if you go to church. You can also give money to a mission organization, for example. That would be something that I can suggest you to do that. You know, if you think that, you know, you're already giving back to God through church, but you still have some leftover, you can give back to mission organization. And also you can give back, for example, to your campus ministry. So let's say if you are being blessed by Credo, why don't you think about giving back to Credo? So yeah, that would be my suggestion. Any other question? Yes?
How do we as Christians make sure that we don't fall to idolize money?
Yes, that's right. What will be the main difference when you say that, you know, you're idolizing something or not, right? That's the question, basically. Okay. Well, your God, your idol, is something that you cannot live without. So let's say, if you think that, oh, you're idolizing money, well, take money away. How would you feel? You're idolizing mobile phone? Take mobile phone away. What would you feel? If you feel miserable, if you feel that, you know, your life is just so empty and you don't even like living, then probably that could be your God. One last question, probably. Yes?
I just want to ask, is it wrong to spend your money to, like, for your pleasure? Because it's ideal.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm thinking, okay, we can go out and have dinner, but, like, how about having just a normal dinner and then a barbecue dinner? We don't need barbecue now, but
yeah.
It's an enjoyment, it's a pleasure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some people actually chose not to spend their money on something that is luxury because they know the priority number one is actually to give back to God.
Yeah.
Yes? So some people chose not to do that. I have friends, basically, who chose not to do it because they know that they are actually satisfied with all the things that, you know, that's all the things that they need, all the things that are provided, basically. So they chose not to do it. But again, it's not so much for them becoming stingy or something like that, but it's for them to spend their money or maybe to channel the money to something that is far greater, which is building the kingdom of God, or maybe to do some mission work, that kind of thing.
I feel like God still wants us to enjoy His creation and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, good stuff, like, we can spend money in better stuff to enjoy money, right?
Mm.
So I'm not sure how can we balance this out. Like,
Yeah, it again, you know, this thing is actually reflect or portrays your spiritual life or your relationship with God. I believe that the closer you are with God, the more sensitive on what God wants you to do.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for Kian. Would you be around?
Okay. I will be around.
So if you have more questions, stay behind. Yeah.